And we've been in a series now for a few weeks called Don't Skip the Big Rocks. And this one is all really about priorities and about how God kind of wants us to purposefully design our lives or kind of build our lives. And he has given us the freedom to do that. And what we did on week one is we built this little illustration. We're kind of revisiting it throughout the course of the series. And what we did is we built it backwards. We kind of built our lives with the little stuff first. And we found out that when we fill our lives with the little stuff, the less important pieces, there's no room left for the big things, right? And so we said, don't skip the big rocks. Make sure to build your life with the big, most important pieces, kind of all the way into the bedrock, the foundation of your life. And so that's what we said last weekend. And we kind of built this little picture here on the whiteboard. We said, if we're going to look at, kind of zoom in on that, what we said is that ultimately our pursuit of Jesus, our response to him and to knowing him and to pursuing after him is going to really inform everything else that we do. And we talked about kind of these three big rocks that would kind of connect to each other a little bit. And we looked and we said, my pursuit of Christ is going to be this foundational side of the conversation. We then looked and said, there's purposeful work that God has called me to. That purposeful work may or may not be a job. It might be training, being in school to learn. It might be serving in the church. It might not have kind of a traditional way to view it, but there is work that God is calling us to. What does that look like? That's always going to be in there to some degree. And then my neighbors, kind of the people that God has placed in my life, how is he calling me to love them? Who those people are might be different in a different season of life. But that is always going to show up, that I'm going to love people. I'm going to love and pursue Christ. I'm going to love and pursue people, and I'm going to have purposeful work to do. Those rocks are, for the follower of Jesus, those rocks are always going to be in our story in some form or fashion. And what we want to do today is get into the actual reality of what does this look like when we build our lives this way. And this is usually the part where there's a lot of conversation needed, because it gets into the guts of how do I actually make decisions about priorities? How do I fit all of this stuff in my life? Because it's from here that we're gonna really look at kind of this slice of the pie or the picture of the medium rocks, right? Kind of the medium rocks. And this, right, so medium rocks is not, it's not the foundational stuff. It's not the littler decisions that we might make in a day. It's big, pretty serious priorities that we might have show up and what we give our time and attention to in a purposeful way. And it's, we're going to dive into it. Today what I want to do is I want to show us three different categories of medium-sized rocks that I think are going to help us get our head around this and help us to make some better decisions. Now, I want, before we dive into it, though, I want to make sure we frame this a little bit more. Here's a one thing I want to make sure we don't lose track of. At the end of the day, this is really critical. All of this conversation is built on some assumptions that you need to hear. So I know that not everybody in this room is a follower of Jesus. This conversation is assuming some things for the follower of Christ. What we're assuming is the way we manage this whole conversation, the way we make decisions, what we do with our bucket, all that, none of this earns me salvation. None of this makes me a follower of Jesus, makes me right with God. That comes from a decision to follow Jesus and for what he did on the cross for me. It's all paid for and done. He's paid for my sin. He's transferred his righteousness to me if I'm a follower of Christ. And then what the Bible says is what I get to do is offer my life, offer my body, offer my days as a living sacrifice. I get to say thank you to God through the way that I approach my life. So this whole conversation about how to build with wisdom is what we said last week, is a worship conversation. I want to be somebody that says thank you to God, and the way that I approach my life is an extension of that worship, and it's a way to honor God with my life and with my decisions. And what we're going to find out today is all of life can be an act of worship if I approach it with the right heart and the right mindset. Okay, so none of this is about earning. None of it is about deserving. It's all about looking back at what Jesus has done for me and saying thank you with the decisions that we make. Okay, so this is the part that gets really interesting. And as we start to dive into it, I think what you're going to find is this. What we're going to look at is a life, especially we said this over the course of the series, that really this segment, especially you're going to feel this, is built around seasonality, about the season that I'm in and what really matters, not just in my life, but in this season of life, right? And this is important. Ecclesiastes would say this, there's a time for everything, right? And a season for every activity under the heavens. And then actually in the book of Ecclesiastes, it lists a whole bunch of different things that there might be a right season or time for. And what I want us to understand is we might make really different decisions off of the basis of these big rocks, right, that are underneath our decisions, but what we choose to do and how we exercise those in a season might look super different. And here's what we're going to walk away with is this, is that wisdom isn't only knowing what to do or what matters, it's knowing what matters right now. It's knowing what matters right now. The reality is, where you are, where I am right now in life, in the next 3 to 4 or 5 months, whatever, there is some stuff that God is calling us to pay attention to. And if we grab hold of that stuff, we seize that opportunity, and we're glad on the other end of it because we have said yes to what God's Spirit is leading us to. And then in a new season, there's going to be a whole new set of rocks that God's going to say, hey, these are the ones I want you to grab hold of. Okay, so what I want to do, my goal in this conversation is that at the end of this conversation, or maybe even in a year or two or five, that you have less regrets than you would have if you didn't hear this conversation. Now, let me say this. Everybody has regrets, okay? Everybody has regrets. At the end of the day, we're all going to have some level of regrets. I want the regrets that you and I have to be regrets we can live with. So here's what I mean. We all get to choose our regrets, right? So I'm going to have, I look around at life and there's a bunch of things I want to do that I'm never going to have time to do. I wouldn't mind learning how to play golf, right? Some of you guys play golf. That's awesome. I get an F in golf, okay? I've played 3 times. It was a train wreck every single time, okay? I'm not good at golf. I may never be good at golf. I can live with that. I probably am not going to watch nearly as many games as I would like to. I enjoy watching games. I'm probably not going to watch as many. I sometimes go to a store and look, and there's like a video game world that exists, and it's like an entire ecosystem of a whole other existence. I'm probably not going to go live in the worlds of video games that probably would be super enjoyable and fun. All of those things, I can live with that regret. I can live with it. Here's the thing. I can't live with these regrets. I can't live with the regrets that my kids don't know me and I don't know them. I can't live with that. I can't live with the regret that my wife feels like I chose a bunch of other people over her. I can't live with the regret that the Savior that laid down his life for me found that I basically ignored him. I don't want that. That regret is not worth it. So what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna choose these set of regrets. Here's the thing, you can't do everything. You can't be good at everything. You can't do everything that you wanna do. You and I, because we're made in the image of God, get to choose what regrets we have at the end. And what I want, the regrets I left with, I want to be able to live with them. I want to be able to stomach them, right? And in order to do that, I got to figure out what season am I in and what rocks is God calling me to grab hold of, right? Wisdom isn't just knowing what matters, it's what matters right now. So here's the 3 kinds of medium-sized rocks that we might bump into. And if you're a note taker, this is gonna be a great day to take some notes. We're gonna make a lot of conversation here and get practical. Here's the 3, I'm just gonna, I'll walk through these and then explain them. One of these big categories I'm gonna call life stewardship. Life stewardship. Here's what I mean by that. I'm gonna put this in air quotes. Like there's just stuff in our life that we have to work on or we have to grab hold of as it comes to us. For example, you might look at college and look and say, hey, man, I'm in college. I'm not going to be in college forever. I have to steward. I have to be a manager, somebody that manages the resources for someone else. That's the idea of being a steward. I have to manage this part of my life for God's glory on purpose in this little season right now. I will not be in college forever. I'm gonna be in college right now. So I'm gonna do college while I'm in college. Right? I'm not gonna try to do 500 other things, but when I'm in this situation, I'm gonna steward the parts of life that God has given me to steward. I remember feeling this massively when I was probably 30. And we had a bunch of little kids at once. I've told you guys this before. We had 4 kids in 5 years, and I was delirious, and Lori wasn't sleeping, and I was doing my master's degree. We were renovating a house. I was a busy pastor in a growing ministry, and I was like, I went to one of my mentors and said, bro, I don't even know how to do this. Like, I am completely overwhelmed, right? And I asked him, I said, how do I deal with all this stuff? Right, the rocks are overflowing, it's kind of the idea. And he looked at me and he was like, well, man, here's the truth. Okay, he's an older guy. He goes, here's the thing. You can't get an A in everything. And I was like, yes, I can. Right? And he's like, no, you can't. And I was like, I think he's right. Now, here's not what he wasn't saying this. He wasn't saying you can't get an A in everything, so just be mediocre. He was saying, you can't give focused priority to all of these areas at one time in an equal way. You have to choose what you want to win in. You have to choose what parts of your life have to get some attention because this is where you are and what needs to happen, right? So life stewardship might look like this. It might look like saying, hey, I am in a place right now, we just bought a new house and it's all torn up. I have to put this house back together. This is going to be a priority right now because we have to have somewhere to live. You might look and say, man, our finances are out of control. They need a plan, they need a system. If I don't get a hold of this now, I'm gonna be in really, really big trouble if you add a year or two or five to that. You might look and say, my health is a priority because right now I've got some health issues, and if I don't get these under control, it's going to affect all of the other areas of life. Or you might say, I need a plan for this so that my life is stewarded well, my body is stewarded well under God's design, and that way I'm going to give myself the best shot at being effective in all the different parts over time. You might look and say, I'm in the startup of a new business. It has to get an overwhelming amount of my attention. This is not the time to work on my pickleball game, right? I played pickleball yesterday for the first time, by the way. It was really fun. Anybody ever play pickleball? I'm a little sore. I'm just gonna say, okay, right? Pickleball's great, right? I'm not gonna go big, right, in these different areas because this part has to have my attention in this season. Okay, it's just the idea. Paul's going to say this way. He's going to say in 1 Thessalonians 4, he says, make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. You should mind your own business, work with your hands, just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders and so that you will not be dependent on anybody. I just want you to catch what's being said here. He says, what I want you to do is, that was deeply painful. I mean, I hope that's not, a look ahead at my life as that bucket's destroyed. Okay, you're good. Just leave them. I don't even think it's salvageable. I'll take that, though, and make fun of it. This is what happens if we build it wrong. I'm just kidding, right? Okay. Sad days. Make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. Here's the idea. Make it your drive. This is what he's saying, right? He's saying to followers of Jesus, make it your drive to have a life that's not dependent on other people. He's going to basically say, take responsibility for the stuff that is yours to carry. Own that. Make it your drive to not be all up in other people's business. Mind your own business. Don't be bored so that you get into trouble with getting into other people's stuff. You own your own stuff for the glory of God, for the glory of God. Steward the parts of your life that you're called to carry. Take ownership of that. Here's the thing. You go to work and probably you're gonna have a boss, they're gonna check your work. You go to school, you're gonna have to turn in your homework and have a deadline, they're gonna check in on you. There's no one checking in on your life. Does that make sense? You have to be the one checking in on your own life. Nobody's going to ask you the question, hey, man, are you taking care of yourself? Are you guys dating? Are you taking care of your body? Do you have a budget? No, nobody's asking that question. Are you really stewarding the gifts and the opportunities that God has given you to max your life out for the glory of God? No one's asking that question. Do you know what that means? You've got to ask that question. I've got to ask that question because nobody else is going to do it. Right? So what I want to do, and this is going to frustrate some of you, is we're going to put out a set of questions and you're going to have some homework to ask yourself those questions, right? And go figure out, what are my medium rocks right now? What really matters right now? This is one of the categories, right? Life stewardship. Here's the idea. Here's another one, and I'm going to call this relational stewardship, right? Same idea, relational stewardship. Right, so we have our first neighbors, and often there's going to be some needs or some relationships that need special or deserve special attention in this season, or maybe they deserve special rhythms in my life during this season. So in the next 3 to 5 months, how do I need to invest deeply into the needs around me? Hear me say this. Some of you are wired this way. You can't meet everybody's needs. You can't save everybody. Probably you can't save anybody. But here's the thing, you can be generally helpful and God can use you in the lives of some, of a few, of the people that he's placed you around. And in fact, I want you to understand that this whole conversation is deeply spiritual. Doesn't feel that way, right? Because this stuff doesn't seem spiritual, it just seems like life stuff. And even relationally, it can feel that same way. But I want you to hear this passage in the book of 1 Timothy. The Apostle Paul is talking to Timothy, and he's telling him how to help be helpful to the widows in the church that Timothy is leading, and how to take care of them and interact with them. And then here's what he says in the middle of that conversation. 1 Timothy 5:4 says this, but if a widow has children or grandchildren, these should learn first of all to put their religion into practice by caring for their own family and so repaying their parents and grandparents. Listen to that phrase, for this is pleasing to God. If a widow has children or grandchildren, these should learn first of all to put their religion into practice. You're saying, Ryan, showing up to help my grandma is spiritual? Super spiritual. But you don't know that I'm doing that. And it doesn't show up on a sign-up sheet at church. Right. You don't get credit from me or from us. You get Jesus is the one that we please. He's the one we honor with our lives. And the reality is the people in our lives, here's what Paul's saying is, you are going to learn and grow by interacting with these relational needs that a lot of times only you can meet. Only you can meet. And we talked about this some in the course of the series. There might be a situation where you would look and say, man, we've got a brand new marriage. We got a brand new marriage. We have one chance to have the first year or two of marriage. Can you work on all kinds of other stuff after that? You can. Can you do all kinds of other things after that? You probably can. Will you look back and be really glad that you prioritize building a strong, solid marriage in the next 10, 20 years? I bet you will. Right? You might look and say, man, we got a bunch of kids under a certain age. We got 2 kids, 3 and under. You're drowning right now. You might look and say, maybe this isn't the time to have 5 or 6 hobbies. This might not be the zone to do that. You might look and say, hey, there are aging parents in our lives and we need to show up for them in a unique way. I remember this. It was kind of a crazy time in our lives 13 years ago. One of Lori's longtime childhood friends she grew up with, she got a diagnosis, and we kind of went through the process of figuring out how serious is this, and we learned that it was really serious. And I remember as a family, as a couple, our kids were super small at that time. We're like, we know that we have to make this a real size rock in our lives, and we need to show up for Lori's friend in some unique ways. We need to do this right now. And when we made that decision, we knew some other stuff in our life was going to get put on hold. Even some minor things are going to get neglected. And I look back now at that decision, and I would say to you, I am so glad that Lori was able to be there and love her friend all the way to the end, all the way to Jesus as she faced the end of her life. Look back and say, I will never regret that decision. There's a bunch of stuff we could have done during that time. So glad we did that one. Guys, that's the stuff I'm talking about. It's happening around us in real time. There's these moments that you grab that you look back in 5, 10, or 20 years and say, I'm so glad we built it this way. Can't show up for everybody, right? We can't do all the things. By the way, at least in our journey, all along this way, as we chose our medium rocks, lots of people thought that our medium rock should be different, frankly. It's amazing how people have a lot of opinions about what should be important in your life. Here's the thing. At the end of the day, I answer to God for my rocks, and so do you. So I've disappointed hundreds of people along the way, and you will too. But I want to be glad. I don't regret that. I want to be glad that we landed where we landed. If your kids are at home, if your kids are in college, if there's a season, if you're a grandparent and looking and saying, I've got a little bit of capacity to invest and help in some specific ways, you might look at and being an aunt or an uncle. I've got a friend who was single all the way through into her late 30s, and she looked up and said, I have the capacity to show up as an aunt. And I can be an aunt in a powerful way and love the children that God has planted in my life. She looked and said, that's going to be a rock in my life, a medium-sized rock. Beautiful. Make it, right? I want to look and say, I want to take ownership for these kind of relational needs. Sometimes it's walking with people in celebration. Sometimes it's walking with them in pain. Sometimes it's putting in the kind of boring rhythms of maybe dating your kids or dating your spouse or regularly seeing a friend. But those relational needs start to really matter over time. Paul's going to speak to all of this and say, hey, this is a big deal, what we do with each other relationally. In fact, later in the passage in 1 Timothy, he says, anyone who does not provide for their relatives, and especially for their own household, has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. All that to say, that is a serious statement. It doesn't mean that we're enabling people or caring for all of their right? You guys understand that that's not the situation. What Paul's saying to Timothy here is what we do in showing up relationally to the people around us is very spiritual work. Very spiritual work. What I want us to see is this stuff, this line does not always feel spiritual. It just feels like life stuff. And if I want to do the spiritual stuff, I'll show up at church and sign up for the church program. That's spiritual. It's all spiritual. Ryan, you're saying it's spiritual when I make a budget? It can be, if I'm doing it intentionally, to use my life out of a pursuit of Christ for his glory. Hey, Ryan, it's spiritual to show up and love on a friend or celebrate and join in their situation. It can be, right? Depends on what God's asking you to do. It's all spiritual work. This determines and this starts to shape our decisions in very meaningful and practical ways. When I start to ask these questions, we start to determine how many sports leagues can we be in? How many hobbies can we have? How many part-time jobs? How aggressive am I going to be about what? And if this is underneath this, this helps me to see more clearly how that can show up in this time, in this space, in this season. Right? That informs all of that. Okay, Ryan, what's the third rock, right? What's the third set of rocks we're looking at here? The last one I'm going to describe this one as is stabilizing rocks. Stabilizers. We've got life, kind of life stewardship, relational stewardship, and then we're going to call this one stabilizing rocks. Stabilizing rocks. Definitely didn't spell that right. All right, stabilizing rocks. Here's the idea with this one. Some rocks we simply put in place to help the most important rocks stay in place. Okay, some rocks, right? If you're in recovery, you know that meeting is a stabilizing rock. What I would look at you and say is a group of men that I meet with every other week, that is a stabilizing rock in my life in order to meet for accountability and fellowship and mutual sharing of what God's doing in our lives. I need that. We look and say that this is a critical part of knowing and following Jesus, is we have to put some stuff in to help us not veer off track. If we take that out, it all destabilizes and starts to fall apart again. The Bible is going to talk about this in Hebrews. It says, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. As the nearer that Jesus comes back, that's the idea of the day approaching, we want to not give up meeting together. How that looks in a window of time can look different. Does not have to look the exact same every season. But looking and saying, I got to have something in there or I'm going to drift away. I would look at you and say, having some, in my life at least, a couple key friendships that I've held on to and fought for over the last 25 years, if I didn't have a sense of rhythm and connection in those friendships, I would be in trouble. I would be destabilized if I didn't have that. Right? It's an idea of a stabilizing rock. Here's another kind of stabilizing rock in that same category. There are some things that when you do things, some activities that you do, that when you do them, you walk away and it breathes life into you, right? And you actually come back from that activity, not just entertained, not numbed, you come back and it's a life-giving activity. Right, so some of you guys would say, man, when I go out in the woods, this would be me. Maybe when you go out in the woods, you're like, I come back full of life. Some of you are like, I hunt, I fish, I come back and I'm ready to do life again. Right, so some of you ladies, I don't know what you do exactly, right? But like, right, you go walk around at Target. I don't know what, right? I've heard that that's helpful, I'm not sure. Right, you read a book or you do a thing or you hang out with the ladies, whatever it is. But there's this delight, stabilizing effect to doing something that actually brings life. And I think you put this rock in last, this part. Because right in some seasons, we don't get that much of that. In some seasons, there's too many demands. Well, we need to make a little bit of space for enjoying the gifts that God has given us for the purpose of saying thank you to him, to finding delight, and it actually breathes life back into all of this. Some of us are terrible at making space for these kinds of rocks. If you are a helper by nature, you are probably terrible at this. If you are a very mission-driven person, you probably are awful at it. I've got a buddy who's a missionary, and we talked one time, had a long conversation about life and how it's gone over the last, he'd been a missionary for 25 years, 25 plus, and he was talking about how much he loved fishing. How much he loved fishing. Oh man, I love fishing. I said, hey man, when's the last time you went fishing? 25 years ago. I said, bro, go fishing. Why aren't you doing that? Take a buddy, do it. You can disciple people. I don't care what, but why aren't you doing that? I'm here to do the Lord's work. What if part of doing the Lord's work is enjoying his gifts? What if God wants me to be his son or daughter even more than his servant? Do you give good gifts to your children? Now, can we overdo this? 100%. 100%. And if you're an overdoer on this side, I need me time. I need 45 hours of me time. You need to chill out and get some more rocks, okay? I'm just saying, that's right. That's you. That's your conversation. Put the me time away and get some rocks. But a bunch of us are doers, and you need to hear, hey, take a deep breath, chill out a little bit, enjoy the food. This is what Ecclesiastes say. Eat, enjoy your work, give glory to God. Find delight. Find some refreshment. The conversation is not maximize yourself in distress and become a slave. We're children of God. Children of God. Here's what Paul would say. For everything God created is good. For everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it's received with thanksgiving, because it's consecrated by the word of God in prayer. We're not talking about going to get in trouble. We're not even talking about entertainment. We're talking about life-giving activities that help us to come back refreshed and fueled, journaling, reading, going on a walk, meeting with a friend, right? Enjoying pieces that bring us life in the overall picture. Every good and perfect gift is from above, James would say. And here's what I want you to understand. Here's what I want us to see and what I want us to know. Sometimes on accident at the church, we accidentally say the wrong message. Sometimes we accidentally say that the only things that are really, really spiritual are things that happen in this building. Or the only things that are really, really spiritual are things that count on a roster where you showed up somewhere. That you came to a building, you came to church, you did an activity. Are the activities important? Ryan, you just told me about the activities. Yes, they're super important. They're critically important, because if you don't connect, I'm just going to tell you this, if you don't connect, if you don't find your way to a group of people that are going to know you and celebrate when you show up, you won't be here in 6 or 12 months. That's just a fact. That's just reality. Okay? It's super important. And the everyday seemingly unspiritual activities of tucking a kid into bed, sitting down and make a budget, actually sweating sometimes, right? Going to work out, eating food with gratitude, doing meaningful work for the job that God has given me, remodeling the house. All of that can be spiritual if I'm doing it through the right lens. The reality is it's all spiritual work. All of this is spiritual work. And so with wisdom, what I want to pick is, God, what spiritual work, what rocks have you called me to take hold of in my equation for where I am right here in the next handful of months? Where are you leading me? Where do you want my time and my focus to be? What if I don't grab hold of it right now? I'm going to look back and there's going to be like real regret. Those are the questions I want us to be a little plagued with here for a few weeks, and then I want us to land with it. Here's the thing. Don't worry about getting it perfect, okay? Don't feel the pressure to get it perfect. Just make some decisions. We're going to do this. I don't even know if this is totally the right thing I'm going to do. Maybe you get some feedback from a wisdom team. If you have people in your life, you can say, here's what I'm thinking. Here's the reasons why, and you run it by them and get some feedback. Ask, does this sound like the right kind of thinking around this? But to live with intentionality, to look and say, Lord, I want to do this next little run on purpose, with intentionality, so that when I look back, I'm not looking back with regrets, real regrets, not the silly ones, the real ones. I don't want to have those later. And you might say, Ryan, I've got regrets right now. What you're saying right now is bringing up stuff. I wish I would have done different. I was told this in the lobby. I wish somebody would have given me this talk 20 years ago, 40 years ago. Listen, you can't go back in time. And there is plenty of grace and forgiveness for anything that you and I have broken or destroyed or messed up. Plenty of grace. Hear me. So, Ryan, so what do I do? Will you receive that forgiveness? You accept it, and then you do the one thing that you can do is you don't look and say, oh, it's too late for me. I missed my opportunity. You grab the season you're in. If you're here and you're saying it's too late, if you really think it's too late, then you probably shouldn't be here. You should be on the next side of this life. If you're drawing breath, there's rocks for you. What are they? Grab hold of them. You can't go back and do yesterday, but this part is happening. It's happening. So can you do your best with it? Grab hold of it? Will you do it with intentionality and purpose and for the sake of worship? Here's the final question, right? Am I making room in my life are the rocks that need to be here right now? So that when 2027 rolls over, you look back and you go, man, I'm really glad we did that. That was the right call. It was the right call. I can't tell you how many stories of people that would look at me and say, Ryan, I'm in trouble. I need help. I need relationships. I wish I would have joined a small group 3 years ago. I wish I would have had some people to go to. And the reality is that can't be microwaved. That can't be generated. Just in Christ, we try to gather and help meet those needs. But when you look back and say, I'm so glad that I made some decisions along the way, imperfect, did my best. I'm glad that we built that family dinner in. I'm glad that we decided to get our heads around this hard part of our life that none of us wanted to work on. I'm so glad that I got out of my comfort zone and reached out. I'm glad that I've got life breathed into me again. I've got some momentum in my days, right? I'm coming out of that zombie mode. How do we get there? We got to grab hold of what God is doing at this level. And it's coming from these foundational big rocks that are underneath it all. These will change in and out. They'll be different based on the decade I'm in, but they'll all come from the purposes that we have underneath them. And God will use all of it along the way. Maybe this week, your homework could be to sit down. Maybe it's by yourself. Maybe if you're a couple, you do it together. And try to just name them. What are our rocks? This is what Lori and I do. What need to be the rocks right now? Right? We got these ones. What do these ones look like? What are we going to not do in order to make room for all that to happen? Would you do that? Would you bow your heads and close your eyes as the band comes out? We'll sing and we'll worship together. Father, we say thank you that first, Lord, for your fresh grace and forgiveness. For anything that we have failed in along the way. God, I'm so grateful that you redeem and you restore and you bring life, sometimes even out of that which has been wasted. God, I pray that that would cause us to have fresh motivation and fresh vision to take hold of whatever it is you've placed in our hands here for this next handful of months. God, would you help us to seize the opportunities that you've given to us? Would you help us to see that the everyday stuff, even the boring stuff of life, is a get-to, it's an act of worship, and it's spiritual, it's pleasing in your sight when we care for what you've placed in our hands, the people, the work, the decisions. Lord, I pray that you would lead us into your wisdom, lead us into your best, and that you'd help us with it right here, right now.